Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We're on day 267 of our three-year journey through God's Word, and that brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glad you're with us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. So wonderful, such a rich treasure and a blessing to us. Please speak to us through your Word. Please write your Word on our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Please help us to understand it with our minds and to receive it and respond with faith and obedience to you. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, through whom you have believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will be manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So, the church in Corinth was several years old by this time. Paul was there and had planted the church 49-50 A.D., He's now writing this letter about 55 A.D. or so. Since he left, he was there for about a year and a half, laying the foundation of the church, planting the seeds. He says, I planted, Apollos watered. He left. He went to Ephesus. He met with Apollos. Apollos got straightened out by Aquila and Priscilla in the right way of teaching the Word of God. And he went to Achaia, to that southern region of Greece, which included Corinth. And he spent some time at Corinth. Now, what's interesting is Paul, when he was there, we heard in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, he was resolved to know nothing among them but Christ and him crucified, because he did not want their faith to rest on plausible human words of wisdom or crafty arguments. So Paul, who was classically trained in rhetoric and who understood how to make a skillful argument according to the wisdom of the Greeks, because he had a very fine education, both a Greco-Roman education in Tarsus and also a Jewish education in Jerusalem under Gamaliel, He knew how to do all that, and actually his letters of 1st and 2nd Corinthians bear the marks of that. But while he was with them, he wanted to speak plain, simple language about who Jesus is and why he died on the cross for our sins and what God accomplished through Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. He wanted to give them the basic gospel because that's what they needed. And because they were a culture that was drawn to sophistry, sophisticated speaking, eloquent displays of human wisdom, that's what he intentionally did not give them. Many, many church planting experts and church growth experts today would say, find out what a culture values, what a culture wants, and give them that. Give them more of that. So if someone values financial wealth and success like a Wall Street crowd, show them how biblical principles of money management can help them to grow their portfolio and become very wealthy. Or if you have people in suburbia who care about their marriages and their kids and safety and community, well then tailor all of your messages to talk about marriage and family and child rearing and safety and security and community. In other words, scratch the people where they itch because that will help you grow your church. Seems to me the Apostle Paul did the exact opposite of that. That he went to Corinth and saw that they were impressed by eloquent wisdom, lofty speech, and he said, I'm not going to give you any of that. I'm going to give you the plain and simple gospel. Now, Apollos comes along a couple years later, and he is very eloquent, very powerful in speech, and he's particularly good at apologetics, at defending the Christian faith, the truth of the Christian faith against critics. So he's a powerful debater and an eloquent speaker. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. God is the one who gives wisdom. God is the one who gives eloquence. He makes the mind. He makes the tongue. Paul was there to plant. He wanted to make sure that what was planted was the pure seed of the gospel, not dressed up with human wisdom. Apollos was there to water and cultivate and help defend the church. But what happened is some people felt like they needed to stay loyal to Paul because he was the founder of the church. Other people felt like they needed to be loyal to Apollos because he was the eloquent and wise one who had such sophisticated arguments and powerful speech, and he was much more impressive with the outsiders. He really put them in their place. And then some had come from Jerusalem who had known Cephas, Peter, the Apostle Peter, and had been discipled by him personally, and Peter had done great miraculous works. So Apollos demonstrated Greek wisdom. Peter had done great miraculous works, but Paul was the faithful founder of the church, and so the church was kind of being divided up into three different camps, and then there were the super spiritual bunch who said, I follow Christ. This was all back in chapter 1, right? And Paul is still unpacking this problem, and he says, what you need to realize is that none of us are anything. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth in verse 6. Verse 7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. You see, they're workers. They're just workers in God's field, workers on God's building. The church is God's field and God's building. It's God's kingdom. It's God's flock. It's God's church. It doesn't belong to anyone, not to pastors or elders or anyone. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul gives a testimony that he tried to be a skilled master builder, faithfully laying a foundation in Jesus Christ. That's the foundation, the one foundation that can be laid, verse 11, is in Jesus Christ. That's why he wanted to preach Christ and him crucified, because that's the one foundation for the church. Now you build on that, and you might build on that with gold, silver, and precious stones. Those are things that can be tested by fire and endure. Or you might come along and build on it with wood, hay, and straw. Those are things that, if tested by fire, get burned up. So there are good ways to build on that foundation, ways that endure testing, and there are bad ways to build on that foundation, ways that don't endure testing. And each one's work will be judged. Now, this passage has been used by some people to justify some sort of purgatory picture, where everyone's going to be tested by fire and it'll be burned up, his work might be lost. You see, this is not really talking about you or me as an individual Christian and our life of obedience being the basis for our salvation or being built up. It's talking about Those who are ministers and servants within the kingdom of God, those who are preaching and teaching the word, those who are building the church, the works of what is built into the church will be tested. And there are people who will be saved because they are true believers, but really what they've built in the church is just a bunch of wood, hay, and straw. It's not really going to stand up in the judgment because it's human-centered. It's according to worldly wisdom. It's really foolishness in the eyes of God. And I think that's where a lot of these church growth experts are, and a lot of these contemporary people who would say scratch the itch and meet the felt needs and blah blah blah. They're Christians. I think they love the Lord. I think they're sincere. They want to see the church grow. But I honestly think that what they're trying to build into the church is just wood, hay, and straw. And I think it's going to be burned up in the day of judgment. And I want to be careful. I try. I'm not perfect. I'm a fallible human being. But I want to be faithful, as Paul wanted to be faithful, to build on the foundation with what is biblical. And so at Forest Hill, we preach and teach the Bible. And we don't go after, flash or relevance or hipness or scratch it where it itches. Like, we teach the Bible, and we seek to apply the Bible, and we seek to live the Bible, and we seek to pray the Bible, because that's what God's given us that we know is from Him and we know will last. All of these other ways of trying to do ministry, Paul says is foolishness. If it's wise in the eyes of the world, the world looks back and says, that's really clever of you to do that. That's really smart. You had a good angle on that. Probably God's looking at that and saying that's foolishness because you didn't depend on the Holy Spirit to work through the Word in the lives of His people. Let's pray. Father, make us faithful. Make us faithful to Your Word. Build us up by Your Spirit. Help us to glorify You. We pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me. We're going to be back in the book of Deuteronomy tomorrow. Hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Mm-hmm.